Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Peter 3, verses, whatever the verses are up there, starting at verse 13. There, 13 to 25. Thanks, Bill. So we can follow along. With minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do, for it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. This is the word of the God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Some of us are old enough to remember September 11, 2001, the infamous 9/11, when two airplanes flew into the World Trade Centers, one flew into the Pentagon, and one crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. It was a terrible, dark, and world-changing set of events. One of the things that happened shortly after that, because the people who had hijacked and done these terrible acts of terrorism were people from the Middle East and people who were followers of the Islamic religion, people went to Muslims, especially in the United States, but elsewhere as well, and they asked them this question: are you a Muslim or are you an American? To whom are you loyal? To your faith or to this land? And when people stammered when trying to answer that or didn't want to answer, they were pegged as disloyal, as traitors in the midst of them. At least they were terrorist sympathizers, according to what people thought. I remember watching that happen and thinking, I'm really glad that they're not asking me that question. What if they said, Bruce, are you a Christian? Or are you a Canadian? What is the level of your loyalty? You think, well, yeah, but we're not asked that. We're not confronted with that. But that's not true. If you look in the history, even of our Christian Reformed Church, it has been an issue. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but our tradition comes from Dutch roots. Maybe you're aware. But for a lot of people that are in society, to Americans or Canadians, they have a hard time differentiating between Dutch people and German people. It all kind of sounds the same to people that aren't Dutch or German. There was a time not that long ago when most Christian Reformed churches did all of their worship and almost all of their ministry in Dutch. And then came the First World War. And society looked at these Christian Reformed churches speaking what they thought, heard, was German. And they said, look at this. We have a whole bunch of enemies in our midst. These Christian Reformed people are sympathizers of the Hun, or whatever word, derogatory term they would have used. And the Christian Reformed Church fell over itself to prove that our church was loyal Americans, because there were, at that time, hardly any Christian churches in Canada. So we have to prove that we are loyal Americans. So what did they do? Really quickly, they dropped the Dutch. What made the Christian Reformed Church start worshiping in the English language? It was to show the Americans that they weren't German. And their sanctuaries, which were a lot like this, you have a cross, you have an organ, you have places to sit, you have a pulpit, but there aren't flags. It's very rare in a Christian Reformed church to have a national flag in church, because, say, we are Christians. We're not here because we're Canadians, we're here because we're Christians, but suddenly in the United States, in the Christian Reformed churches at that time, the sanctuaries were filled with flags. American flags were everywhere. They would line the wall, and they'd be along the sides. They were just doing anything they could to say, we are American. Now, we want to say we're loyal. We are loyal, loyal, loyal. Well, here we are, it's 2019, we're not in the States, we're in Canada, we are at the weekend celebrating the 162nd birthday of Canada. And on this weekend, what would you say? Are you a Canadian or are you a Christian? What is your first allegiance and what is secondary? Now, personally, I've always been delighted to be a Canadian citizen. I always vote, and I encourage all of you who are fellow citizens to take that responsibility and vote. I have the habit of writing to my MP or my MPP. If something they're doing is of concern to me, I take it on myself to write them a letter. And I want my voice to be heard. I want my perspective to be heard. And I encourage you as citizens to do that as well. I pay my taxes. And I don't grumble too much about it, because I think we've got to all do our share. I do my very best to show proper respect to those that are in authority, those that have taken positions of responsibility, whether it's the Prime Minister, or the Premier, or members of Parliament, or the Mayor, whatever, you should show proper respect to them, and I try to do that as well, even when they act in ways that perplex me, and they very often do. So, I'm a Canadian. But I am even more delighted by the fact that I am a citizen of the Kingdom of Heaven. That I am a person who is in service to my Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I hold that as a key value and a marker of who I am as a person, I am an active member of a church, happens to be this one. I, like so many of you, practice the spiritual disciplines. I pray, I read the Bible, I try to have times of silence where I listen for the Lord to speak. I give of my time and my treasures, my energy to the gospel ministry. And if push comes to shove, if given the 9-11 challenge, and I was asked, okay, Adama, who are you? Are you a Canadian or are you a Christian? I would have to say, and I would say, I am a Christian first. I am a follower of Jesus first. But then I would want to say, but please let me continue to explain how being a citizen fits into that. That being a Christian, having that as my first allegiance, means that I want to be a good citizen. I want to seek the good of my land. I want to honor those who are in authority, etc., etc., etc. But if you force me to say what is my first priority, my first allegiance is to the Lord. We want, and we work together for a Canada that is that which is in God's imagining. We've been put in this place, given the, almost some of us, the honor of citizenship in this country, with the responsibility to be a blessing in the name of the Lord to it. God has an idea. What should Canada be like? And we can extrapolate what we think God's desire for our country is. Say, well, he wants it to be a place of true and deep justice. He wants it to be a place of compassion. He wants it to be a place of freedom. He wants it to be a place of health and healing. He wants it to be a place of welcome and sanctuary. He wants it to be a place of wholesome prosperity. He wants it to be a place where there is spiritual understanding and people indeed are reconciled to him and at peace with him. That's not amazing for you to hear. I think we all know that that is what God wants. That if sin hadn't entered the world, what would Canada be like if in that reality Canada or countries even existed? That is what he would want from us, and therefore we are trying to make real what we know is in God's heart. But it's a task, it's a calling, it's a challenge, because our beloved country is none of those good things. Not to the extent that it should be, not to the level that it will be when Jesus returns and makes all things new. We know that there is injustice in our land. We know that there is a terrible lack of compassion towards many in our land. We know that there are people who do not experience true freedom, that there is illness, that there is brokenness, that there is discrimination and hatred, that there is people who experience poverty. We know there are people walking in darkness. That is all true. And we say, and therefore, we have a calling and we have a responsibility. We are called to live peaceably, honorably, and intentionally as the people of God. And that does mean that we are going to be living and acting in a way that is actually out of sync with our general society. We should not fit in. We should not just become part of the background that fades into the wallpaper. That we as Christians who truly follow Christ in this land, we should stick out. Say, these people aren't the same. They're not acting with the values that are common to all, that they are living in ways that are trying to make something different emerge in our land. We do not accept all the claims of our secular world. We don't want to fall into compliance with that which is different than the will of God. We want to see ourselves as foreigners in the land of our birth, or and the land that we have adopted by immigration to be our land. That's what Canada Day means for the church, for Christians. We're not bowing down at the secular altar of nationalism. We are saying, God has been good to place us here, and God has been good to give us a ministry that can speak to this land, that from within it we can be an agent of reconciliation. So pray. Pray for the spiritual strength to live God's way. It is so easy to fall into line with secular society, and it is so hard for us to actually be kingdom citizens. Pray for the strength to be what God wants you to be. Pray for our country, for our society. Pray for our neighbors, those who are still caught in the worldliness, the emptiness of a worldview that doesn't have room in it for God or the gospel. And pray words of thanksgiving for all the blessings that are ours as citizens of the kingdom of God, and all the blessings that are ours as resident aliens in a great country called Canada. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray for our country. It is such a good country. It is blessed in so many ways, of which we are grateful. But we know that it is also broken in so many ways. So, Lord, let not our prosperity and let not the beauty of this land distract us from understanding how much we as a nation need you. We ask that you would help us to be that kind of missionary to our own country. And we pray that that good news will be heard. We thank you for all these blessings. We do thank you for being in a free land. And we pray that you would continue to prosper and bless this country that we love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.